Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in our good friend. He is the voice of the Houston Texans. He joins us in the 8 o'clock hour in studio every Friday, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, football being king with the XFL. That's what we just got done talking
football
about.
Football is king. Yeah. It is that way. But we love all the sports,
we
right?
We do.
I mean, I really do. I love hockey, too. I went to a hockey school, boys.
Look, you love it the way, you know, you love your third favorite child. It's like, all right. I mean, the law requires
wait.
Me
quick,
to.
Quick poll. Second favorite sport to watch. Second favorite.
I thought you were going to ask my second favorite child. I
was like, favorite child.
He doesn't know yet.
Seth's got to admit to something.
What, second favorite sport?
Yeah.
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. John.
Basketball.
Basketball. Me too. Basketball. Yeah. Golf third. Thank you.
Mm. Golf third ahead of baseball, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love the Astros in the postseason. I love going there, but no, come on. I'm talking about average game where you don't have a dog in the fight, right? I'll go golf way ahead of everything except basketball as my second favorite.
I'm mad at myself I didn't say professional wrestling.
You're talking about
I'm having some remorse.
Wait, is that a sport, Sean?
Yes.
Never mind.
You can bet on it.
Oh, you're talking about to watch, right? Not play. You're talking about to watch.
Yeah, watch. Yeah, okay. You're sitting on your couch. Yeah. Like
well,
most
you
people.
Play both those things, so I didn't know basketball and golf.
Oh, yeah,
so.
I do play basketball
and
golf.
You still get out there and hoop from time to time.
I hoop 3 days a week, man. That's what I do for exercise. I can't stand doing anything else, all right? I get totally bored. The physical state I will get into playing pickup basketball, drenched in sweat, to get to that state doing anything else, I will stop before I'm in that state.
Right.
So I play basketball.
Yeah, there you go. So as the voice of an NFL team, how jacked are you for the likelihood of a 17-game regular season and more playoff football?
Okay, I have different ways of looking at this because I'm in the building every day and I see the guys drag themselves in after a game, right? The next day, you know, Texans Monday, 8 a.m., you guys know because you're off the air for those hours. And we're, you know, I'm in the dining room, you know, getting a little coffee or something in the morning. The guys are coming in and you just see what they go through. You see the injuries. I see Joe Webb like almost every day. You know, his foot was in a boot for the longest time. Well, he was on one of those scooters. Remember, he got hurt in that final preseason game.
Those scooters are so degrading.
You see what these guys go. Yeah, they kind of are.
They are.
The Schaub
scooter.
The
bigger guy, you know.
It's like, you're on the scooter, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the boots are like everywhere now. Like everybody's in a boot. Civilians are in boots everywhere you go.
Well, we're all overweight, too. That's part of the problem. Stress fractures everywhere.
It happens.
Wrist fractures, stress. Anyway, the guys go through an awful lot. So I always thought the 17 games, man, I don't know. But here's how I look at it. The average NFL worker, the average NFL player, right? I'm not talking, you know, I know Watts weighed in and Richard Sherman and everything. And those guys, great leaders and great players. But for the guy who's only going to play 3 or 4 years, he's playing in every preseason game, right? So now, if I'm that guy, I get to drop one of these preseason games. I'm hitting less in camp, and I'm going to get another check.
Mm-hmm.
I like this deal, all right? I get to play one more week, and it's a meaningful week. Instead of playing in that preseason game that I was playing, and maybe I was only playing a half in one of the ones they're going to drop, but at least I get a game check out of the deal, and they're going to go to 55, right, with the roster?
Yes, that's
I read
one
a
of the nuggets,
on that.
Yeah. Yep.
55, that's two more jobs, okay? And you guys talked about it. Economically, it's going to get better immediately. In the last year of the current CBA, which is 2020, they're going to go to that seventh playoff team per conference and more money for the players immediately. So not 17 games this year, but immediately more cash in your pocket. I think it's a good deal for them. Now, it's easy for me to say, if they reject it and it goes into, you know, next offseason, I think it gets a little iffy, right? Because it's harder to negotiate those TV contract extensions without labor certainty. And I think that could affect the players. Look, everyone's going to say, the owners are billionaires, and they're going to make money. It's a business. Yeah. Let's be honest here. But it is an improvement for the players over what they were getting.
I think the biggest – The biggest thing is that if it weren't for the matter of this 17th game, it would be a lot more straightforward, I think, and then it's just more pure numbers. The player safety stuff, it seems like everybody's on the same page. They've been talking about a lot of the more minor issues since before last season to where this seems like there have been a series of productive negotiations. The problem is with this 17th game, I feel like there's just still a lot for the players themselves to absorb and consider and adjust to, that perhaps with all these details, the rank and file of the players versus the players' association representatives, they might not quite be on the same page yet. And I would say, the big point about being able to negotiate new deals with more certainty about what your economic outlook is, that could benefit the players immediately. So the players have an incentive to get this done before free agency, the same way the owners do. It's just a matter of maybe they're right there at the finish line and they got to figure out this 17th game stuff.
Well, the 17th game, and for the guys who make a lot of money like Watt and Richard Sherman and people,
they're
like
taking
that,
a pay cut in that 17th game.
They are, theoretically. But you're not, when they negotiate the deal, right, with you, you're Seth Payne, I'm going to pay you $10 million a year. We don't break it out per game, right? We break out a huge contract, and yes, you are paid per game, but that it doesn't say on the contract you will get X per game.
But
right?
You also have an expectation of what the most you would be asked to do is. When you sign that contract, I have this contract, and I was expecting when I signed this contract to play at most 20 games in a season, and that all of a sudden changes.
But here's the thing. I think this is why the bulk of the players, like I said, the guy's going to play 3, 4, 5 years in the NFL, which is a hell of a time. I mean, if you're able to do that in life, right? Those guys are really going to benefit from this, and I think that you have to look at it. The majority of the league is that guy. Really. Mm. It's not Watt. It's not Richard Sherman.
They are
the elite. They are the upper. They're the 1%.
The way it works, though, too, is the guys that have the most influential voices are the older guys or the guys that have been around a little bit.
Right.
And also, too, I think sometimes when you look at the average length of a career, you have to remember that 3-4 year career average, that's skewed by all the litter at the bottom of the guys that only
never
make it a year or two.
Right.
The guys that, if you make it 4 years, you're probably going to make it 8 or 9 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, the bona fide actual players.
I don't know about that. Now, I'd have to check that data. If you make it 4 years, you're going to make it 8 or 9.
For you. Yeah, I mean, the average is like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because you're a bona fide player. If you're an actual bona fide player,
because you means you're getting to a second contract.
People love to bring up that 3.5 year average and act like it's because guys are getting their legs and ripped off their bodies something. A lot of it's just because there are a lot of guys that aren't good football players that get washed out.
They're undrafted free agents, maybe caught on a roster, and
they're a vested player or whatever, or even less than a year. So
I'll go
the
with
average
you, but
a little
I
bit.
I think you're with me on this, though. Maybe you're not. That the bulk of the league is still that that middle class, okay, and that's who I think the deal has to be for, And
well,
I think,
in an ideal
I think
world.
The highest paid players will always be well taken care
of.
I mean, they will. And those guys, those guys don't play in the preseason. Richard Sherman's not playing in the preseason.
Right, what I'm saying is you're painting out the ideal world, what it should be, versus, but those guys that you're talking about, they have the most influential voices, too, and have the most sway over the younger guys. So the power in players' association is always going to be skewed towards
That's why I think this thing has a shot to really not get done right now, because of those two tweets we saw yesterday. And who knows how it plays out in the next couple of days.
It's interesting because we're talking about the potential new CBA that's going to get voted on by the players here imminently. If you're just tuning in, Mark Vandermeer's in studio with us. Regarding the extra playoff team, which we haven't really talked about, Mike Florio put up a poll on Pro Football Talk, and it got several thousand votes, presumably by football fans. 63% of them said they want to keep it at six teams.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
Well, yes and no, because I think most of us want to think we're purists, right? We want to believe we're purists. I do think that sometimes, change is inevitable. Sometimes it's not good. I'll go to college football. I think the 12th game in college football has been horrible for college football.
It's all FCS.
And it's proven that, look, the attendance is suffering, maybe not because of the 12th game, but it's certainly not helping because you didn't add this blockbuster matchup. Mm-hmm. What you did is you added a money grab, it looks like, to the average fan. expanded bowls. Has that been really great for college football? Well, it's good for the TV audience because I get a lot of football in mid to late December and early January. I mean, a ton of football. People watch it. It's a business-driven thing. And this is obviously also a business-driven thing. But I do think that fans are going to like it when you're coming into week 16, 17, 18, 19, whatever it's going to be, however many weeks the NFL season's going to be right now, and your team has a shot at it. You know I would have enjoyed this in 2009, the Texans making the postseason, with a team that, you know, if we're going to go Texans history here, that team could have done some things.
Yeah.
I think we figured out they were going to go to San Diego or something if they had made it. And they had the 13th rated defense. They were getting hot. Arian Foster was just coming around. Schaub was playing. I mean, that team could have done something there. And then 2014, I don't know if Case Keenum starting in the playoffs for the Houston Texans in 2014, 2 weeks out of the deer blind, would have been a big factor. But it would have been fun. Look, I think we all love being in the postseason, and it's still less than half the league. It's still not a watered down. It's watered down compared to what it was. But I think if you're gonna go 17 weeks, I think you should go the 7 games. Otherwise, you might have too many weeks toward the end of the year that aren't meaningful enough.
I would go the 7 teams per conference if they allow the 3 other division winners that don't get a bye to choose their opponents.
See, you draft love the choose their your, you I love this thing.
I feel like it's a rule. I feel not because it's a gimmicky or anything,
right,
or not because it adds a pro wrestling element to it, mm-hmm, where it puts a chip on the shoulder. I think it's an appropriate, especially in football, Mark,
right,
where it's a one and done, mm-hmm, and their matchups matter. I think it's an appropriate reward for having a good regular season.
The problem with that is I feel like you're watering down the new format before it even gets started, because what'll happen is, and this happens in the NFL perhaps more than in any other sport, there are teams that have a bad start to the season. Maybe they have a rookie quarterback. Maybe somebody's injured. Maybe it's a new coach in a new system. And then all of a sudden, mid-season, they gain some steam.
Right.
And they start getting it rolling. Let's say the Tennessee Titans this year, you know, quarterback change. Let's say the Tennessee Titans had been a 7 seed. All of a sudden, wow, you've got an intriguing matchup with a team that might actually be able to knock off the King versus, oh, wait a second. No, now the King actually gets to choose a more advantageous matchup.
Yeah.
So I think
it's the reward for being the King.
It's a reward. Yeah, screw rewards. We're already talking about making it less fair and intriguing. So, let's not try to balance it out immediately.
You think on wild card weekend, which is 3 games each day.
Yeah.
So you think that you should be able to choose at that point?
No. They would choose like the Monday after the season ends.
Right.
They would choose the Monday. Yeah, the regular season would end.
So the Texans could choose. They're hosting. They can choose.
Let's play it out with this year's AFC, right?
Because
the Steelers would have made the postseason.
Right.
The Chiefs would not have gotten a bye. The Chiefs, 2, 3, and 4 were Chiefs, Patriots, Texans.
Right. Chiefs would have chosen the Steelers,
who they would have played anyways.
Right.
I think the question becomes, if you're the Patriots, do you then pick
Buffalo,
the 5 seed, who you beat twice already this year? Or do you beat Tennessee, who wound up beating them?
I think they would have picked Tennessee.
You? Because it's hard to beat the same team 3 times.
And Buffalo flirted with beating them a couple of times.
Yeah.
And maybe they get lucky this time. So that might have not changed at all. But it's an interesting concept. It really is. I think it's just fun to have more in the playoff pool. The one team having the bye, that bye is so precious. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your system, would the team with the bye the next weekend get to choose at that point?
You choose every week. Every week, the upper seeds choose from the lower seeds. Hell yeah.
And that's a baseball proposal, right?
That's what baseball is proposing. Yeah.
There was one anonymous proposal that leaked
out.
It's not like proposed. When you say baseful, it might have been one owner.
Somebody who likes baseball proposed it.
Yes, this is baseball. Please talk about something else other than you-know-what proposal.
Well, that is what one person at an owner's meeting or something said something, and all of a sudden that turned into Trevor Bauer claiming that the commissioner was a moron for proposing this.
Clown.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
The commissioner's like, I'm under enough heat right now.
Exactly right.
Enough heat.
Exactly.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.